All right, I want you to just for a second, close your eyes. Imagine it's a crisp, cool morning. The sun hasn't quite broken the horizon yet, so everything is in that kind of grayscale twilight. The air smells like wet earth, maybe some decaying leaves, a hint of pine. You can see your breath. Your gear is packed. You've checked your equipment three, maybe four times. The coffee is hot in the thermos for a huge group of people, especially in places like the Midwest. You know, Indiana, Ohio, Illinois. This isn't just a Tuesday. This is the feeling of October 1st.
The opening day, it's practically a religious holiday in some parts of the country.
Exactly. It's the start of hunting season.
Yeah.
And the vibe is just, it's electric. You're thinking about strategy, patience, maybe the trophy you're going to bring home. It's primal. But here's the thing, and this is what we're digging into today.
Yeah.
While you're worrying about wind direction or being quiet, there's a statistic lurking in the background that turns this hobby into a genuine hazard. And it has absolutely nothing to do with the weapon you're carrying.
Right. It's the danger that, nobody puts on the movie poster. It's not the bear. It's not an accidental discharge. It is something that, surprisingly, a lot of seasoned pros overlook until it is literally too late.
So today on the Deep Dive, we're tackling a topic that sounds a little niche on the surface tree stand safety, but hold on, don't skip ahead, because when you look at the data, this is actually a story about human psychology, physics, and a hidden epidemic of industrial-style accidents happening in the middle of the woods.
It sounds dramatic, but the numbers really do back it up. We're talking about life and death for thousands of people every single year.
We're pulling from a really eye-opening blog post by the American Hunting Lease Association, the AHLA. It was written by Connor Hermesh, and it's titled "The Unknown Dangers of Hunting and How to Prevent Them."
Which is a fitting title, because as we'll see, the danger really is unknown, or at least ignored by a huge majority of the community. It's the elephant in the room, or I guess the elephant in the tree.
So our mission today is pretty straightforward. We're going to uncover the number one reason for injury and death among hunters. Spoiler alert, it is not what you think. And we're going to explain why a specific foundation was created just to stop it. And honestly, even if you've never held a bow in your life, the psychology of why these accidents happen is fascinating.
It really is. It's all about complacency versus preparation. Let's get into it.
Okay, so let's unpack the timeline first. The source material, it sets the scene in Fishers, Indiana, and it specifically points to that date I mentioned, October 1st.
That's the big one.
That's the big day. That is when the season kicks off there.
Right. And while the source focuses on Indiana, this timeline applies to a huge part of the country. As soon as that calendar flips to October, the woods just fill up. It's like a switch flips.
But the article brings up something interesting that I hadn't really thought about. It mentions that before you get to October, you have to get through September. And apparently, September has a specific designation in the hunting world. It's Tree Stand Safety Awareness Month.
Which makes a whole lot of sense if you think about it. It's the calm before the storm.
But tell me more about that. Why September? Why not do the safety awareness, in the middle of the season when people are actually in the trees? Wouldn't that be more relevant?
You'd think so, but you have to think about human behavior. Once the season starts, once it is October 1st, the adrenaline just takes over. People call it buck fever. You're focused on the hunt. You're waking up at 4 a.m. You are not sitting down to read safety manuals or inspect your harness straps. You're in go mode.
That's a really good point. It's like studying for a final exam. You don't start studying when you're already sitting at the desk taking the test. You do it the week before.
Exactly. September is the preseason. It's that critical window of preparation. The Tree Stand Safety Awareness Foundation, or TSSA, and we'll talk more about them a bit. They use September because that is the moment right before hunters head out. It's the moment where you can actually influence behavior before the risk becomes real.
That brings up a really crucial point about what we even consider preparation. I mean, if I'm a hunter, I'm prepping my bow or my rifle. I'm sighting it in. I'm washing my clothes in that special scent-free stuff so the deer don't smell me. I'm checking trail cams. I'm obsessing over all these
You're
details.
obsessing over the details that lead to success.
Right. But I wonder how many people are actually prepping their knowledge of where they are going to be sitting.
And that is the gap the TSA is trying to fill. We obsess over the gear that gets the result, the weapon, the camo, the calls, but we often neglect the gear that keeps us alive. The stand itself and the harness is seen as secondary. It's just furniture in the woods.
And that negligence leads us directly to the core of this article. The title mentions unknown dangers. Now, be honest. When I think of dangers in hunting, I think of, I don't know, a misfire, maybe getting lost and freezing, or a bear if you're in the wrong neighborhood. Those are the scary things.
Those are the cinematic dangers, the ones we see in movies.
Yeah?
The Revenant, right? Bear attacks make for great cinema. Falling off a chair doesn't. But if we look at the data in the article, the bear isn't the primary threat. The gun isn't the primary threat. The number one reason for injury or death to a hunter is tree stand-related falls.
Number one. That is just wild to me.
Number one. And by a wide margin. It isn't firearms. It isn't wild animals. It is gravity.
I mean, you are going out there to be the predator, effectively. You're the top of the food chain.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that takes you out isn't another predator. It's just slipping off a platform.
It puts things in perspective, doesn't it? And we're not talking about a handful of clumsy accidents here. The source cites data from the National Electronic Injury Surveillance System.
Right, I saw that. And the volume of these incidents is, it's startling.
They estimate about 4,000 tree stand-related fall incidents annually.
4,000. Every single year.
4,000 incidents that result in injury or death. That is a significant volume of trauma for what's supposed to be a recreational activity. That's 4,000 emergency room visits, 4,000 families getting a panicked phone call.
Okay, but here is where it gets really interesting. And by interesting, I mean absolutely terrifying. The article references a study by a Dr. Glenn Mayhew. He's the executive director of the TSSA. And he broke down the mortality rate of these falls.
This was the part that made me stop and reread the sentence about three times.
Nearly one in 10.
Yeah.
One in 10 falls out of a tree stand results in death.
Let's pause and sit with that for a second. A 10% fatality rate for an accident type is incredibly high. If you told people that one in 10 fender benders resulted in a fatality, nobody would ever get in a car.
No. The highways would be empty.
Totally empty.
Right. That's a staggering number. So why is it so high? I mean, falling is bad, but a 10% death rate.
Well, you have to look at the physics and the environment. We're not talking about tripping on a sidewalk. These stands are usually, what, 15, 20, maybe 25 feet up a tree? So first, you have the impact velocity.
Okay, so the height is the first killer.
But it's not just the height. It's what you land on. You're in the woods. You're landing on roots, rocks, frozen ground, or maybe even on your own equipment. Your bow, your rifle, the metal steps of the ladder. It's a chaotic impact.
That makes sense. It's not a gym mat down there.
And then you have to factor in the isolation. This is the big one. If you fall off a ladder cleaning your gutters in the suburbs, your neighbor sees you, or you can crawl to the house. In the woods, you might be a mile from the truck. You're usually alone. There's often no cell service.
So if the fall doesn't kill you outright, the exposure might.
Exactly. Or the internal bleeding. Or something called suspension trauma. If you're wearing a harness but you fall and hang there, the circulation to your legs can get cut off. If you aren't rescued quickly, that alone can be fatal.
It really changes how you visualize the sport. You aren't just sitting in a tree waiting for a deer. You are effectively working at height on a tiny platform, often in cold or wet conditions, usually alone, with lethal weapons. It's an industrial accident waiting to happen in the middle of a forest.
Precisely. It's like construction work without the OSHA supervisor standing there. And because you are usually alone, the rescue time is delayed. That likely contributes massively to that high mortality rate. That golden hour for medical treatment is often gone before anyone even realizes you're missing.
So we have this massive risk, 4,000 falls, a 10% fatality rate. Obviously, someone had to look at this and say, we need to fix this. This can't just be part of the game.
And that brings us to the TSSA.
The Tree Stand Safety Awareness Foundation. The source says they were founded in 2016.
Which, in the grand scheme of hunting history, is really recent. Hunting has been around forever. Tree stands have been popular for decades. But a dedicated safety foundation, that's new.
True. And it wasn't just some random group of concerned citizens. The article mentions it was founded by a group of outdoor industry leaders.
And that is a key detail. This wasn't some external regulation being forced on hunters by the government. This was the industry itself. The people who make the gear, who lease the land, who run the businesses, looking at their own customer base and realizing we are losing people to preventable accidents.
That's a grim realization. Our customers are dying.
It is. They believed this was an issue that specifically needed to be tackled, to use their word. It wasn't going to fix itself.
The article quotes Sean Furbash. He's the treasurer of TSSA. And he lays out their mission pretty clearly. He says the goal is to significantly reduce incidents through three pillars.
Promotion, education, and best practices.
It sounds simple, almost corporate, best practices. But I imagine it's a heavy lift to change the culture. Hunters can be traditional.
Traditional is a polite way to put it. Stubborn is another. Best practices is the key phrase there. It implies that there is a right way and a wrong way to use a tree stand. For a long time, I think the culture was just climb up and be careful.
Right, don't be an idiot. That was a safety brief.
Exactly. But be careful isn't a safety protocol. Don't be an idiot doesn't stop gravity. Wear a full body harness and stay connected to the tree from the ground up. That is a best practice. That is a tangible action. That's what they're trying to instill.
And Sean Fabache has a really poignant quote in the piece. He says, "The bottom line is that we want every hunter to know and use these best practices of tree stand safety so he or she can come home safely to their family and friends."
That really strips away all the statistics, doesn't it?
It does. It reminds you what's at stake. It's not just a broken leg or a ruined season. It's about coming home. It's a difference between dinner with your family and a funeral.
And there's an interesting connection here with Sean Fabache. I want to connect the dots on who he is because the article notes that he isn't just with the TSSA.
Right. He's also the COO for the American Hunting Lease Association, the AHLA.
Which is based right there in Fishers, Indiana, where our whole story started.
So what does that tell us? Why does a guy who handles land leasing care so much about harnesses?
It shows a holistic approach to the industry. Think about it. The AHLA helps people lease land for hunting. They connect landowners with hunters. The TSSA helps them stay safe on that land. It makes perfect sense that the organization facilitating the place to hunt would also be invested in the safety of the hunt.
It's not just altruism, it's sustainability.
100%. If I own 50 acres of woods and I lease it to a hunter, and that hunter falls out of a tree and dies on my property, that's a nightmare. It's a liability nightmare, an emotional nightmare. I might never lease that land out again.
So bad safety practices actually threaten the access to the land itself.
Exactly. If people keep getting hurt, landowners stop leasing. If landowners stop leasing, hunters have nowhere to go.
Yeah.
It connects the landowner, the leasing agent, and the hunter in this circle of responsibility. Everyone has skin in the game.
So let's talk about the how. The article frames this information for the reader using a specific phrase. It says, "This TSSA information should be a useful part of your hunting day essentials."
I love that framing. Essentials.
Usually when we list essentials, we're listing physical items.
Yeah.
You know, knife, rope, compass, water, bullets.
Right. Stuff you can put in your pack. But here, they're arguing that information is a piece of gear. Awareness is a piece of gear.
If we connect this to the bigger picture,
mm.
You wouldn't go into the woods without your boots.
You wouldn't make it 10 feet. You'd turn right around at the trailhead.
So why go into the woods without the knowledge of how to not fall out of a tree?
It is a mindset shift. The article specifically mentions that Indiana has many residents who hunt. So this message is targeted. It's saying, look, this is relevant to you. It's not some theoretical problem happening in some other state. If you are in Indiana and you are hunting, this data is about you.
And even if you aren't in Indiana, gravity works the same way everywhere else.
Unfortunately, yes. Gravity is the one law you can't break. It is universally consistent.
So let's get specific on these best practices. Because wear a harness feels a bit like wear a seatbelt. We know we should do it. But what specifically are they advocating for that might be new to people?
The big shift is the concept of being connected. In the old days, you'd climb the ladder-free climbing, basically get into the stand, sit down, and then maybe you'd strap a belt around the tree.
Right. That seems risky.
Mm.
Because you're exposed during the whole climb.
Exactly. And the data shows that a huge percentage of falls happen during that transition, climbing up or stepping from the ladder onto the platform. That's the wobbly moment. If you aren't clipped in, then you aren't safe.
So what's the fix?
The fix is what they call a lifeline, or a system where you are attached to the tree from the ground up. You clip in at the base of the tree. You slide a little knot up as you climb. If you slip on rung number 3 or rung number 20, you're caught. You never have a moment where you are untethered.
That seems so obvious, and yet I bet a ton of people don't do it.
It adds time. It adds a little bit of noise. It's a hassle. But again, look at the stats. 1 in 10 deaths. Is the hassle worth it?
It's interesting how we compartmentalize safety. We might be hypervigilant about gun safety. Keep the muzzle pointed in a safe direction. Finger off the trigger until you're ready to shoot. That is drilled into your head from day one of hunter safety class.
Absolutely. You would get kicked out of camp for flagging someone with a muzzle. It's socially unacceptable.
But tree stand safety seems like it's been treated as secondary. Like, oh yeah, and don't fall. It hasn't had that same social taboo.
I think it comes down to the nature of the risk. A firearm feels dangerous. It's heavy. It smells like oil and gunpowder. It makes a loud explosion. It commands respect. It feels like a weapon.
Whereas a tree stand.
The tree stand is just a chair. It looks benign. It's just furniture. It feels passive. You sit in it, you trust it.
You trust it to hold you up.
Right. And that trust creates complacency. You think, I built this well, or this strap looks fine. And that complacency is where the danger lives. That's why TSSA has to exist. To remind people that the chair in the tree is actually a piece of life support equipment.
That is a great way to put it. Life support equipment. When you are 20 feet up, that is exactly what it is. It's no different than a scuba tank or a parachute.
And if that equipment fails, or if your use of that equipment fails, well, we saw the stats. 1 in 10.
It really brings it home. So, as we look at this article from the AHLA, the message is pretty clear. The excitement of the season, that October 1st rush, needs to be paired with the preparation of September.
You can't have one without the other. Or at least you shouldn't.
So what does this all mean for you, the listener? If you're listening to this and you are a hunter or you know a hunter, maybe your dad hunts or your partner hunts.
It means checking your essentials list again. Do you have the physical gear? Sure. But do you have the best practices? Have you visited the TSSA website? Do you know the current standards for harnesses? Because that 4,000 number, nobody thinks they're going to be part of that statistic.
Nobody ever does. It won't happen to me.
But 4,000 people a year are wrong about that. And the goal of the AHLA and the TSSA is to get that number down to zero. They want you to come back. They want you to tell the story of the buck you got, not the story of how you learned to walk again.
So to recap what we've covered today in this deep dive, we started with the atmosphere, the pure joy and anticipation of October 1st in Indiana, the gear, the anticipation, the ritual.
But then we revealed the ghost in the machine. The hidden risk. The number one cause of injury and death isn't the weapon or the wildlife, it is the fall.
We looked at the numbers from the National Electronic Injury Surveillance System, 4,000 incidents a year, and that sobering stat from Dr. Glenn Mayhew that nearly 1 in 10 of those falls is fatal.
A truly staggering mortality rate that comes from the combination of height, difficult terrain, and of course, isolation.
And finally, we looked at the response.
Yeah.
The Tree Stands Safety Awareness Foundation, founded by industry leaders like Sean Forbakshe, they're working to educate hunters through promotion and best practices, specifically that idea being connected to the tree from the moment you leave the ground.
Turning safety awareness into an essential part of the hunt, just like your ammo or your boots.
It's a powerful reminder. You know, before we sign off, I want to leave you with a thought. It kind of circles back to something we touched on earlier regarding how we view danger.
What's that?
We spend so much time fearing the external threats in the wild. We fear the weather turning on us. We fear the bear coming into camp. We fear a weapon malfunctioning. We are always looking out there for the danger. We scan the horizon.
Right. The danger is always something else, something outside of us, something foreign.
Exactly. But in this case, the danger is something we bring with us. We carry the stand into the woods on our backs. We strap it to the tree with our own hands.
Mm-hmm.
We climb it. We build our own risk. Why is it that we are often least careful with the infrastructure we build ourselves?
That is a profound question. We trust our own hands maybe a little too much, and we respect the laws of physics maybe a little too little. We think because we built it, it won't hurt us. But gravity doesn't care who built the ladder.
Something to think about the next time you are packing up the truck for a weekend in the woods. Stay safe out there, everyone. Check your straps.
And watch that first step. Thanks for listening.
See you on the next deep dive.